Sandy Jackson Cohen. Mike Turpin is our engineer, and I'm Grace Cavalieri.
Time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Art Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. On this Christmas Eve, I'm going to treat you to two archival WEFT interviews from the early days of Catch the Beat in 2023. The first is with Vicki Nyswander, host of Disability Beat and long-time volunteer at WEFT with her husband Mark, always stepping up to do necessary tasks and then taking a place on the board of directors, which she chaired a number of times. In the past year, she has done much behind the scenes to keep the station alive and well. And this reminder of Vicki's role is bittersweet, because she and her husband Mark are making a new home in Colorado as I speak. We will miss them tremendously. So enjoy this inside view into Vicki's time at WEFT and her outstanding show, Disability Beat, which no longer airs on Mondays at 5:30. So now I officially want to welcome Vicki. You've been very important keeping WEFT going for many years now, bouncing on and off the board and always behind the scenes, getting grants and making sure things work. I have always loved your show, Disability Beat, which is a really hard-hitting show, very specific. Mondays, is it 5 or 5:30?
It's at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock, okay. And you also work professionally with disability issues. So I want to talk first, I think, about what you have done at WEFT, how you've seen it change over the years, and just your perspective and what it takes to keep the station running 24/7, your thoughts about how it's changed and how it may change in the future.
Sure. So I've been involved with WEFT. We've lived in the area for about 35 years, and my husband Mark got involved right away and was listening every day and just loved WEFT and served on the board of directors. And after a time, I had helped with a number of volunteer things at the station, stuffing envelopes and doing those kinds of things. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know what? I could go through training and do a show about disability issues, which is my background, and there's no other show like it in the entire country right now. It's the only over-the-air radio program that is about disability issues of all different types.
That is a powerful thing.
Yeah, it really has been. It really has been a great venue for me, because I have had an opportunity to bring people in who will educate the public on the issues that people with disabilities face. So that's the thing that brought me in. Since then, I have become the board chair. I've been the chair of the programming committee in the past. I do training of new airshifters, which I'll put in a little plug. We have a training coming up on Sunday afternoon. So this Sunday afternoon. So if you are listening and you're interested in thinking about being on the air, send an email to airshiftertraining@weft.org and I will pick that up and answer it.
And you know, I highly recommend that. It's very interesting to learn about what it takes to be an airshifter. And it is a lot of fun to run this board. I'm sitting here with more bells and whistles than I get anywhere else, way more than I have in my car.
And it's really not that complicated to do once you get a little bit of practice on it. And it's about having your voice on the air. And that's something that as the board chair and just a longtime member of WEFT, I want to get more voices on the air, to get more people engaged with radio and help us grow and become a better radio station.
Well, and that's a good part of the motivation behind me starting Catch the Beat, which mm-hmm. is in only its fourth week now, because this is an easy way for people to get on the air with me, and I welcome people contacting me with ideas for interviews and participating, and you can come in anytime. So, I agree with you completely. WEFT is a very rare resource. People don't understand that there aren't many community radio stations where you can just walk in and virtually, after a very brief training and some practice, have your own show.
Yeah. Mark and I we go on vacations usually every year, not so much through COVID, but that's a whole other situation. And when we go on vacation, if there is a community radio station in the area, we always call them up and say, hey, could we come and, you know, we've gone to a number of different community radio stations and try to learn from what they do to help make WEFT better, stronger, and a bigger part of the community.
And on November 1st on Catch the Beat, I will be interviewing our new station manager, Eric Bolin, who will be attending the Grassroots Radio Conference, which starts next week.
Yeah.
So he will be bringing fresh news of what community radio across the country is doing.
It really is kind of an exciting time because there are so many possibilities for changing in a positive way and getting more involved in community activities. I love Catch the Beat, so I'm really glad you're here and doing
it.
Well,
thank you, Vicki. Yeah, that was just the right thing to say.
I don't know what else you need to know about WEFT. I mean, it's easy to get involved. You can do as much or as you want to volunteer and bring your talents, that the things that you're passionate about, to help the radio station stay on the air, whether that's technical ability or you just have a great voice that you think would be a great radio voice and you want to do a show, or volunteer to, you know, sweep the floor or clean the bathroom.
We particularly recommend that one.
I mean, there's so many different things that you can do. Be a part of a committee. There's just so much.
Yeah. Well, let's move toward your work with issues about disability.
Sure. I start this by saying that my view of what people with disabilities deserve to have is a life like anybody else, that they can choose where they live in the community and have supports to make that possible, that they can have a job, that they can have recreation that's not necessarily in isolated settings, that they're integrated with people in the community. And that is not currently the way a lot of providers in the area and in the state and truthfully in the country look at services for people with disabilities. So my focus is always trying to bring to light how this can be happening for people with disabilities in real settings, not made up, isolated sheltered workshops and day programs and things like that, that they can be supported. And I think that people who don't have disabilities can benefit by knowing people with disabilities, even those with the most significant disabilities. I know I have.
Yeah. Well, I have learned a great deal from your show. and from having various friends with disabilities and learning what they do to take the bus and get a wheelchair strapped down.
Absolutely.
It's this community is actually not bad, is it, for being set up for people?
Well, actually, you know, the University of Illinois was a leader in physical accessibility for students there. In fact, they still are a leader in the things that they have done to make their campus as accessible as possible.
Well, and they have programs through its DRES, right?
DRES has a program, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I know faculty who have come here because they had children with disabilities and wanted the specific supports that the university offers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And even like the engineering department has developed projects with their students, you know, technology to assist people with disabilities.
So has industrial design. They worked with Clark Lindsay and came up with fascinating things, you know, lights on the carpet that light up where your dog is sleeping. So people getting up in the middle of the night so they don't trip over their dog.
I could use that.
Yeah, and assistance with putting on socks and silly things like that. But industrial design students really went to town.
Yeah, there have been some really fascinating projects that have been developed over the years. And every once in a while, I'll have a U of I student on my program to talk about their project that they've done. Or the professors or, you know, whomever.
Yeah. What about policy? How much have you gotten involved with legislation that supports these things?
On a lesser scale, I've been involved with policy. I do know all of my representatives and senators quite well. Chapin Rose is my senator here locally, mm-hmm. and we're on a first name basis mm-hmm. these days. So I do express my opinion. I think that people don't think that they have power in the state legislature. But if you contact people and let them know your opinion on any issue, not just disability, but any issue that really is important to you, they listen to you.
I learned that when I moved to Champaign-Urbana. Mm-hmm. Local government is very accessible, and I learned
Absolutely.
To walk into city council meetings and talk about things that were on my mind.
Yeah, and the people that are running those organizations are accessible as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a great way to be brave and get out there and have your voice heard, because your opinions are just as important as their opinions.
Yeah. When was the Americans with Disabilities Act passed?
Oh, gosh. It's been around for, I'm thinking they just celebrated, they're almost up to 30 years ago. It was 1990.
Yeah.
Is when the ADA passed.
But that was not all that long ago when you look at how limited people with disabilities were in accessing.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, it was kids in school didn't have access to, kids with disabilities, with significant disabilities, couldn't go to school until the law was passed that allowed that, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which was in the 70s, I believe. So laws certainly help, and that honestly is the way Illinois makes change for the better, is through lawsuits. That's just kind of what we have learned.
Yeah. Is there recent legislation that has looked at other issues?
The area that I'm interested in right now is the closure of state-operated developmental centers. The state has 7 centers that house people with the most significant disabilities, and those people are at great risk for abuse and both physical and sexual abuse, as well as neglect. And there have been many, many incidents over the years that have been extremely problematic. A lot of people have been charged with things. Not many people go to jail. They just kind of whitewash it and sweep it under the rug, and it just, things go on as they have before. But they just passed, there's a bill on the governor's desk right now that will give more power to the Office of the Inspector General for the Department of Human Services to actually bring charges and keep people who are charged with crimes from being moved to another state-operated developmental center to do their same abuses all over again.
Is that department effective?
They're underfunded.
Yeah,
The bad thing, the worst thing is that each of these developmental centers have been discovered to have a type of code of silence that the staff members protect each other. Mm-hmm. And so since they're protecting each other, the people who have disabilities, many of whom can't even speak up for themselves, are at risk, at greater risk.
Yeah.
So that is a big focus of mine on my radio show, and just making sure that people have a chance at a better life.
But there are only 7 centers in the whole state.
There used to be 9. We have as a group of advocates have been managed to close 2 of them in the last few years.
And what considerations were given to the people who had lived there?
The people that lived there either moved into group homes, into various communities around the state, hopefully closer to family and having a life that is less regulated than what they lived like in the institutional care.
So you are in favor of closing these?
Oh, absolutely.
Centers. Oh, okay.
Absolutely. I wasn't sure. They need to be closed. And in the meantime, the guest that I had on my program on this past Monday wrote a book, and he was involved with the safety. He was a member of the team that went in and checked for make sure that people were safe, and it was a very frustrating job for him. And he thinks that closed circuit cameras are the answer. And I thought, well, I agree with you, it will make people safer, but I don't know that that's the long-term solution. I think people need to be.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's helping people live their lives,
yeah,
rather than surveillance of how they're treated.
Yeah, because surveillance only catches when things that are bad happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't prevent them from happening. We learned that from policemen wearing body cams. Doesn't stop them from doing bad things.
Are there group homes in Champaign-Urbana and surrounding communities?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, there are group homes that have anywhere from 3 to 8 people living in them. And then there are things called intermediate care facilities, which may have 20 or 30 people living in them in a group situation. We don't have any institutions here in the Champaign-Urbana area.
Is there state funding for these, or are they private?
The state funding, some of them are private. The state-operated ones, obviously, are state-funded. And the state, here's a shocker for you, Cope. The state pays per person to these institutions on an average of $320,000 per person per year.
Whoa.
That's a lot of money.
Uh-huh.
And you think about how you could take that amount of money out of the institution and you could set up a pretty darn good life with the correct supports for a person, even a person with the most significant disabilities, without having to be in that setting.
Yeah.
So the state is looking at this, you know, they shouldn't look at it as a cost saving measure, but it would be a cost saving measure, and people would be living better lives.
Yeah. Well, it's like incarceration because the amount
absolutely.
Of money spent
it
on
it is incarceration.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my background. Currently, I'm serving as not only am I the board chair here at WEFT, I'm also the chair of the Developmental Disabilities Board that's a subcommittee of the county board here in Champaign County.
And what sorts of issues do you look at there?
We don't have to deal with issues too much. It's more about providing supports to local agencies to do good things for their customers, for the people that they serve who have disabilities. And so we provide grant opportunities for all of the agencies to, you know, they have a great idea. We had one recently that said, we want to start providing transportation to our members because transportation is an issue, particularly for those who don't live on a bus route. And so they've started doing that. And so they take people to clubs and organizations and classes and the things to their work sometimes just to provide that service.
And there are specially outfitted buses for that too, aren't there?
There are some, but the specially outfitted buses are a little bit difficult to manage because you have to, when you call one of those buses, I forget what they're called, but they run them through the MTD, and you have to give them a 2-hour window. And they
So if you have a doctor's appointment.
So if you have a doctor's appointment, you may get there an hour and a half early.
Yeah.
Or you might get there half an hour late, you know, which doesn't go well at doctor's offices.
Yeah.
So you spend a lot of time sitting and waiting with that specialized service. So this is more user friendly.
It is about time for us to wrap this up. So Vicki, I want to thank you very much for coming. And for sharing that, and I encourage people to tune into Disability Beat, and it's also archived on the WEFT website, just like Catch the Beat.
You're listening to Catch the Beat on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Tonight, I'm airing two archived interviews from the early days of this show. The second is a conversation I had with Eric Bolin, WEFT station manager, in 2023, not too long after he joined the station.
Welcome to our inaugural program of Catch the Beat for Market Street. WEFT's station manager, who I was going to say new station manager, but you're not exactly new anymore. Eric Bolin came here with quite a bit of radio experience and also community experience. And so I want to ask you about WEFT radio, because that's one of the things I'm going to focus on in Catch the Beat, is our air shifters, what they do, the things that you find on air, very interesting things that people don't know about how WEFT operates and how our air shifters operate. And so, Eric, you are putting a lens on what WEFT is at this moment in the community. You've also done a lot of looking at what the history of WEFT is, and that's interesting. I think you're going to mention some of that today. And then the conversations you've been having both at the station and in the community about where to take it. So, Eric, what do you want to tell us?
Well, first, thanks for having me. I appreciate being on this show. It's a great idea for a program here on WEFT, and I think it's really going to be a highlight, especially from the community standpoint. A little bit about me, my background. I'm born and raised in Champaign. I went to Champaign Centennial, went to Parkland College, got my degree there. And then I moved away. 40 years ago, I moved away and got involved in mainstream corporate radio. And that's where I worked for 40 years. My connection to WEFT was my mother. She was a volunteer, one of the very first volunteers here. And she sort of adopted this radio station as her radio station. So whenever we'd talk on the phone, I would be in Los Angeles or Pittsburgh or New York or wherever I was at the time. And I would say, well, at my radio station, we're going to do this. And then she'd say, well, at my radio station, we're going to have a street festival and we're going to sell records out in the street and we're going to raise money for the community. And she was just very proud of WEFT. And so my connection was always through her. She passed away several years ago. But when this job opportunity became available and I saw it online, I was like, maybe that's my purpose. Maybe I'm supposed to go back. So I interviewed, talked to the people, and it still was very much the WEFT that my mother had been telling me about. So I was very excited to come back, not only to come back to the community, but in sort of a weird full circle way, come back to WEFT, even though I'd never been here before. It felt like I was coming home. So that's why I was excited to take this opportunity. Also, I thought that there was some things that I could bring to the table, having worked 40 years in commercial radio, which is very different than community radio. But there, I thought there were some perspectives that I could bring, some ideas, some energy that I could bring to the table. And so I've been here about a couple of months, and I think the one thing that I have been able to realize is that this radio station, WEFT, is Champaign-Urbana. It is a community radio station by definition, but for 42 years, that's what it's been. It's never really taken any sort of journeys off to the side. It's never really strayed. It's always been about the community, from offering shows to local people who bring their own perspective, whether it's music or talk, public affairs. It is about the individuals who are coming to the radio station. It isn't the radio station saying, hey, we want you to come here and play a show that is polka music or hip hop. We don't do it that way. The individual people, volunteers, we call them air shifters because they're in charge of the whole entire radio station when they're on the air. They bring us the ideas. They tell us what they would like to do. I'd like to do a talk show about this. I'd like to have an issue show about this issue. I would like to do a music show that's about this specific genre of music. And that's really different from corporate radio. Corporate radio, it's the exact opposite. We would hire people to do a job that we had already designed. Here, we're asking people to bring their own insight, their own passions into the studio and doing what they want to do. And we just help do it by teaching them how to run the board, play the music, have guests on, etc., run the equipment. So the first little bit of my time here has just sort of been learning what this station is about, learning what the community is about. It's really changed in the 40 years since I was gone. I think it's really changed for the better. When I left, downtown Champaign was an area that you didn't want to go to.
You know, I'm glad to hear that, because I know there have been more golden years of certain areas. We've lost a lot of really wonderful things in the local downtowns, both Urbana and Champaign. So, I've been here 25 years. So I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah, I had a show on Saturday, this past Saturday. I drove from the radio station to Cranor, Elnora. I went to see.
I was there too.
The end. But as I was leaving downtown Champaign, there was not an open parking space anywhere.
Yeah.
It was packed. It was crowded. There were people out on patios everywhere, laughing, eating, having fun. It's just amazing, especially the downtown Champaign that I left wasn't one. I mean, you could go through an entire street and not see a single person and be looking over your shoulder the whole time wondering if you felt safe. Like I said, when it's changed for the better, I do believe that it's changed for the better. One of the great things about community radio is that we are open to suggestions. We're open to ideas. My email is stationmanager, one word, stationmanager@weft.org. If anybody has any ideas, any suggestions, please email me. Let me know. I'd love to talk to you about what you think we could do to improve, what areas maybe that we're not significantly covering. But yeah, let's have an open conversation about the things that you see that WEFT could improve upon or different avenues that we could explore. stationmanager@weft.org. Yeah. I'd love to hear from everybody.
That wraps up our time for this week's Catch the Beat. I hope you've enjoyed a reminder of the invaluable presence of Vicki Nyswander at the station and a view of what our station manager, Eric Bolin, had to say about radio in 2023 and his plans when he was relatively new to WEFT. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app. available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod. See you next time.